have to tell you, Kenny, before you go off stage, first of all, I love those shoes. I'm going to rip them off your feet. Second is this. So when she talked to me this morning, she said, I'm so excited about your topic for today. And I was like, spiritual practice? Really? And so the courage to commit is the theme for the month. Oh. And so today's a little bit different. So I didn't get it at first. But what I understand now is that it was important to her because Kenny got married last week. And so she had the courage to commit. And so we want to bless her and her wife on your new relationship and your marriage. And may you live long and commit well. So there you go. Oh, I love that. I was like, I was really, for a minute, I was really excited because I'm like, someone's so excited about spiritual practice. That's awesome, you know? I'm like, oh, well, there you go. So this month we are talking about the courage to commit. In all the different ways, the spiritual practice of commitment and how much courage it takes to really step up and own something. And so this week we're talking about a way that we can commit to ourselves through our spiritual practice. So my talk today is practice makes spiritually perfect. And so I wanted to share with you, since we're talking about spiritual practices, I wanted to share with you a prayer for the day that I came across this week that I thought was really helpful. So here's a prayer for the day. Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy, nasty, or selfish. And I'm really glad of that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help today. Thank you. Amen. Right? I think that's why a lot of times spiritual practice happens first thing in the morning, right? That's our intention. So at the heart of the New Thought philosophy is a regular and individual practice. One of the things that, you know, we get accused of, talked about, whatever, about in New Thought is that we're really about ourselves. You know, that there's a little, you know, in the worst case scenario of it, it's a little bit of a selfish path. But that's the first step, and that's the first half of it. What people think of that, they don't realize that that's only the first aspect of it. We need to take a look at ourselves. We need to do some work on ourselves. We need to be present with who we are in order to be able to bring that forward into the world. That's the second part of it. So the spiritual practice is so important for us because it allows us to know who we are. It allows us to connect to the truth of our being. Because let's face it, most of us, because of the socialization, the experiences that we've had, and most of us in this room have had a lot of experiences to go on. You know, I'm putting myself into that, you know, that category of having a lot of life experience by this point, that I'm carrying the baggage of what I have learned about myself from the outside world. But the outside world doesn't know you. The outside world doesn't know me. The outside world doesn't have any idea what you're capable of. The outside world judges you from a place of comparison because it needs to do that. But we don't operate in comparison. We don't operate in our wholeness, in our fullness, in our potential, in our power from that place of limitation. That doesn't happen when we connect from the inside first. Our spiritual practice is the bridge from where we are to where we want to go. You can't get there from here without stepping on that bridge of what our practice is, about intentionally doing some work and connecting to the truth of who you are through all of these different gifts. Ernest Holmes says, the founder of religious science, says this, one of the great difficulties in the new order of thought is that we are likely to indulge in too much theory and too little practice. As a matter of fact, we only know as much as we can prove by actual demonstration. So I'm fond of saying, of quoting Ernest Holmes, that he also said the demonstration is the only authority. So what that means is this. It doesn't matter how many workshops you've taken. It doesn't matter how many classes you've taken. It doesn't matter how long you've been studying this. And let me tell you, I hear that all the time. I've been in this philosophy for 45 years. I've been doing this. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so if your life is a mess, then you got some spiritual practice to do. If you've got a part of your life that's a little out of whack, you got some more practice to do. And it's a little confronting and it's a little hard to take because what I know is that each and every step that we take, each and every class that we take, each and every thing that we read, what it does is it moves us to a place of being able to put it into practice in our life. And when we take that step from just taking it from theory into practice, that's where the magic happens. That's the good stuff in the middle of it. That's the cream in the donut. They're opening a Winchell's in Fallbrook. I'm in big trouble. I saw the sign this week and was like, oh my God, donuts. That's why I'm doing that. Okay, so that's why that came into my head, because I'm thinking of that. Okay, so I want you to think of a violinist or a dancer. I'm already digressing. We're in trouble. Okay, think of a violinist or a dancer or an athlete, right? Okay, so let's take a basketball player. Say there's a phenomenal basketball player. Of course, I'm not choosing football. Basketball player. And he's got the amazing game. He's really great. But there's one area of his game that he's not really good at. He can't do free throws for baloney. Okay? So what do you think is going to happen to that guy? Is he going to walk around and say, I'm the greatest basketball player. I'm the greatest free throw thrower ever there was. I'm the one. I can do it. Put me in. Coach, I can do it. You know, how far is he going to get with that? Not very far. And I could make a big joke about that, but I'm not going to. But somebody got it. Okay. So, but what's going to happen is the coach is going to tell him to go practice his free throws, right? He's going to go and he's going to make him do them over and over again until he gets really good at it and it matches the rest of his game. It's like that in our lives. Sometimes there's all these different aspects of our lives that we got going. We got game in it. It's flowing. It's moving. It's great. But there's just one aspect that isn't working. And it could be any one of those things, one of those areas. You know what it is in your life, right? That's where we put our attention, that's where we put our focus, and that's where we put our practice. It's important for us to realize that we can't mask over those things because it bleeds over into the rest of our life. So if there's something that's really not working and you're pretending that it is, you know that there's something to address there, but you just ignore it and you pretend it, right? Oftentimes this comes up in a relationship. The relationship is great, it's wonderful, but there's just this one thing, and I'm going to pretend that it's not there. And then what happens? Does it go away? No, it doesn't. It gets louder, and it bleeds over to the other aspects of the relationship, right? And if you've got a challenge in your relationship and you don't address it, what happens? It bleeds over into the other aspects of your life until you have to address what's going on. And the way that we do that is by pausing, taking our time for ourselves, committing to being present to what wants to come forth, and we do that through our spiritual practices. So, and this is the reason. When you go to do your spiritual practice, I'm going to talk about all the many different things that we could consider spiritual practice, but when you go to spiritual practice, you go vulnerable. You go as you are. We can show up in our best with our faces done and our facades out and looking a million bucks anywhere in our life, but to the altar of your spiritual practice. When you go into that inner realm and you go to commune with the presence of God, you go open, vulnerable, and willing. And when we do that, which is scary, I can feel it, right? I can feel how hard it is sometimes to face all the things that we don't like about ourselves, all those things that we think are wrong, all those mistakes we think we've made. But when we can authentically step forth and commune with the divine from that place, something magical happens. You realize that you are loved no matter what. You realize, and no one's going to, I can preach that at you every week. I actually do preach that at you every week, that you're loved, right? I do. But you're not going to believe me until you know it for yourself. And that's how we do it. When we go to the presence and we are surrendered in the truth of who we are, we allow that love to come in. The divine loves us so much that it created us out of infinite possibilities. You were a thought in the mind of God from before time and created in the individual way that you are. You are loved. And it's only when we allow ourselves to go to that place of connection, open, willing, that transformation starts to happen, that shift happens, that we open to a greater way of seeing and being. So I think of it this way. This is why it takes commitment to do it. Because sometimes we have to commit to making it a regular practice. One meditation is not going to do it for you. Maybe it inspires you. One prayer may not do it for you. Maybe there's a spontaneous healing. But I think spontaneous healings are the result of a whole heck of a lot of spiritual practice that finally like breaks open. That's what I think a spontaneous healing is a consciousness that builds to that moment. So when we make the commitment to make it a regular daily thing, that we connect to the divine, and that's what we're talking about spiritual practice, is it's a way to connect with the presence of the one and understand the truth of who you are. And so when we do that, when we allow that, we open to new ways of seeing and being. We open to new paths of unfolding. It takes commitment. So let's talk about what spiritual practice actually is. Of course, I'm talking about meditation. Yeah, so I heard that. So there's a little bit of, so when I say meditation, we get half of the people who are like, ugh. Those are the ones who don't practice meditation and have an idea about it. And then we get a, and that came from those people who know that when you have a regular practice of meditations, it's your safe, sacred space. It's the sweet spot. It's that place where you feel the gooey, yummy love of the divine, right? Again, maybe I'm on the sweet kick today. I'm picturing warm chocolate chip cookies. What's going on with me? I have no idea. Donuts and chocolate chip cookies. Okay, I don't know what that's about. Well, I'll pray about that later. But, okay, so meditation, we're talking about prayer, we're talking about affirmations, we're talking about visioning, we're talking about gratitude practices, we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about all these different things that we could include in our daily lives to allow us to commune and connect with the One. I think of it this way. We are all creators of our life. We are creators. We are builders. We are building our life. And so if you think about a builder building a house, there's not one tool that builder could build that whole house with. He can't build a house with a Phillips head screwdriver alone, right? He needs lots of different things to do it. And in order for us to build this beautiful house that is our life, you need a toolbox that's full of different kinds of practices, of different kinds of experiences that are going to get you there. And if you do the same thing over and over again in the same one way, I've got people who say, I've been doing Vipassana meditation since 1968. Okay, great, that's wonderful. What else are you doing? Because when you get into one practice and you stay with one practice, it allows you to connect in one way. It allows you to see from one perspective. And it doesn't open your eyes to the different things that could help you and feed you and support you and nurture you. We are here to build a glorious, amazing life. So the definition of a spiritual practice is something you do every day that draws you deeper into who you really are by connecting you to your divine self. So yes, it can mean meditation, prayer, chanting, yoga, all those other things I was talking about. But spiritual practice might be baking, gardening, running, knitting. It could be playing an instrument. It could be creating art. It's not about what it is, the form, but the connective quality of it, intentional mindfulness. If you are moving through your day and you have spots during your day where you commit to connect to the divine presence within you, it changes your life. Ernest Holmes said that 15 minutes morning and night is enough that you need to transform and manifest anything. That's all you need. And he said it, but he said it in a way that says, but you can't do your 15 minutes with God and then go be judging everybody through your day. You can't go and be bad-mouthing the neighbors, and you can't go be complaining about the status of the world, and you can't go through the rest of your day, do your 15 minutes in the morning and complain all day, and then go do your 15 minutes at night and create your life. Bookends aren't going to work on this. We need to align our understanding, our view, and our way of being in that understanding that we are divine emanations and what that means. Again, putting it into practice. So it's the practice of it, is it something that you do every single day? Jesus taught from Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's teaching that it's not about the outward act. It's about the inward connection. It's not about showing off and being boastful about your prayer work. It's not about, you know, making a big deal about your meditations. It's about the importance of it is how you connect with God. It's your own divine personal relationship. And it's through that, it's through the inner realm, it's through that connection that you understand your worth, that you understand the possibilities, that you understand that you are greater than you think you are. Jesus taught it, everybody's teaching about spiritual practice, that it's about you and God. And so I love that idea that God wants you for itself. There are moments when God just wants you for itself. I find that moments of loneliness, moments of challenge, moments of difficulty is the outside life that you have pushing you into that place where God can take care of you. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when life starts spinning and things are coming at me and I don't understand it and I'm mad about it and I'm frustrated, I'm in my grief, I'm in my upset, I'm in my worry, whatever that is, that it gets to a point where I say, enough, I can't, not, one more thing. And even I get to that moment. And what happens is I have to stop. I get in my chair, I close my eyes and I breathe. And I connect in my heart to that presence. And there is always, I'm telling you, there is always, not one time has there not been that feeling of release, of surrender, and of comfort to know that I am held in the arms of the divine. And I encourage us to practice that. I encourage us, instead of getting into our reactive nature and trying to fix our life and trying to figure it out and trying to worry about it into being, because, hello, worry is creative energy, and we are really good at that practice. That's one that I think we should try and let go of. We let ourselves be and deepen in that connection. And as we connect on that inner realm, what happens is that something opens, something wakes us up into a new way of being. So the practice part of this means that you do it every day. Is that every day we find a way to connect and that you commit to what that's going to look like for you. And you do it over and over again, and not in a strict, ugh, I have to do my meditation way, but in a this is who I am way. Without the idea of ever stopping it, your practice will not only contribute to your well-being, to your health, your well-being, your peace of mind, your understanding, but it'll support everybody around you. Can you imagine what it's like if you don't get reactive in your family? Can you imagine what it's like if you don't get reactive at your job? Can you imagine what it's like going to Starbucks and not being mad that you have to wait online for 20 minutes? It could be community rather than frustration for you. It changes the way that we see the world and the way that we navigate through it. So the first step is that you have to admit that your practice is important and you have to commit to it. That's where the courage to commit comes in this. The courage to try something new. The courage to commit a certain amount of time for yourself. I had a teacher in seminary who is one of my inspirational ministers up in Los Angeles, and he says that he tithes his time to God every day. If we teach that we tithe 10% to the divine of everything that we make, of everything that comes into us, we have that tithe to the divine, to that which has fed us and served us and nurtured us, inspired us. He tithes his time to God. So 2 hours and 40 minutes. And what he says he does in that is he does his self-care. He does his yoga. He does his morning pages. He does his meditation. He does his spiritual study. But you know that 2 hours and 40 minutes in the morning, you are not going to call Reverend Mark. He's not answering. Because he's tithed his time to God. Now that's a high commitment, and that's a very strong high commitment, and maybe that's a little bit more than what you're ready to do, but maybe 15 minutes would be worth it for you. Like Ernest Holmes says, 15 minutes morning and night can change your life. So maybe you're willing to give 15 minutes to God, doing a little spiritual reading, doing a little bit of breathing and meditation, allowing your mind, which has probably been running like crazy on high gear, to start to learn how to calm down. It changes your life. It will change your physical body. It will change the way that you are in the world. And it's a commitment to you, but it's a commitment to your relationship with the One. And that's not easy. Commitment's not easy. I hate to tell you, honey, commitment's not easy. But I know you're blessed. Strong enough to do it. But we know what a commitment takes, right? It takes that day that you're really tired and you think you need an extra half hour of sleep. It takes getting up out of bed. It takes when the kids are screaming and the phone is ringing and all of those things to go hide. And let me tell you, the best place to do spiritual practice if you're a mother is in the bathroom. Lock it. Give me 15 minutes. See, I could go on a whole, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pull myself back. Okay. Tell me, come see me. I'll tell you the joke after. Okay. But what happens really when we start to practice this, what you're developing is your spiritual strength. And spiritual strength is what we talked about last week about praying ourselves up, right? Being prayed up, which means that you do a regular spiritual practice, you connect in a regular way for you to be able to handle those challenges when they arrive. That you can navigate those rocky roads when you hit them with more ease and more grace because of the fact that you are connected to something greater. Think about what it's like when you're not connected to that, when you don't have the perspective that everything's there for your good, when you don't think that this divine presence really wants you to thrive and to express yourself fully. If you hit those challenges, if you have that spiritual understanding and that spiritual strength, what you're going to do is you're going to rise above it and realize that there's something greater within you that's being called forward. There's a deeper strength or a greater understanding or a greater way of being. But when you don't do your spiritual practice, when you're not connected, all you think is life is out to get me and I stink, right? And that I'm not strong. I can't handle it. It's just a belief. It's just a belief. It's like a light switch. You're either going to believe that you're greater than you think you are, or you're going to believe that you're not. And my goal for each one of us is to be so steeped in this understanding, so steeped in this mystical, deep relationship with the one that's called you to be, that no matter what shows up in your path, no matter what shows up on the road, that you can handle it because you know that God's got this, because God's got you. And you're so connected to it. So one of the practices that Ernest Holmes talks about in his writing that's a great way to start is for anybody who's got some sense of limitation. If we've grown up with the idea that I'm not smart enough or I'm not capable enough or I'm not whatever, you fill in the blank because everybody's got their own, right? Everybody's got their own not enough. So if you have this sense of limitation, Ernest Holmes says one of the things to start with is to go out at night and look at the night sky, to contemplate the universe. To think about how many stars are in the sky and how vast and powerful this universe is. Then to think about all the fish in the ocean. How many fish there are. The sea life that we don't even know about. Do you know that there's depths in this earth that we haven't even discovered? And how vast that is? And then to contemplate this grains of sand on a beach. Right? If we can even spend a couple of minutes just thinking about how amazing this universe is and that we're part of it, it gets us out of our little limited dumpy thinking. It gets you out of realizing out of thinking that we are alone and that we're limited and that there's not enough, to realize that there's more than enough of all things everywhere. And that practice alone is going to start to bust through those walls of limitation that you've got. It's going to move you out into another way of thinking and being. It can be that simple. A spiritual practice can be that simple. It's just what's going to connect you to your understanding of what's bigger than you are. And so here we are. It's back to school time. I'm really ready for back to school. Let's face it, my kid's been in school for 5 weeks, but it's September, so we're thinking back to school, right? And so, and I'm willing fall with my colors. I'm like, come on, cool weather, come on, I know you're coming. We've got another month, but come on. But anyway, so in this idea of back to school, in this consciousness of back to school, we're going to go back to committing to a new way of being in our life. We're going to go back to committing our new schedule to create time for spiritual practice. Now, it doesn't mean you got to spend 2 hours and 40 minutes doing anything. I'm not going to make you do that, but I am going to give you homework this week. I'm sorry, I'm doing that. And so when you came in today in your program, there was a card. Did you get your card in your program? Everybody's got one of these? If not, you can pick it up on the way out. I should have put it up on the board. I did not. But this is what this is. This is a reading from Ernest Holmes. And so I'm going to read it to you today, and then you're going to read it to yourself for the next week, every day. And all it takes is I'm going to lead you through this, so I'm going to have you close your eyes and take a breath and just pause for a moment. sink into that feeling. And if you can't get to that feeling of connection, imagine that you can, because then you can get there. And just open to these words from Ernest Holmes. He says this: to daily meditate on the perfect life and to daily embody the great ideal is a royal road to freedom, to that peace which passeth understanding, and is happiness to the soul of humankind. Let us learn to see God as God must with perfect vision. Let us seek the good and the true and believe in them with our whole heart, even though everyone we meet is filled with suffering and limitation appears on all sides. We cannot afford to believe in imperfection for a single second. To do so is to doubt God. It is to believe in a power apart from God, to believe in another creator. And so this is the practice. He says, let us daily say to ourselves, so just take this in today, perfect God within me, perfect life within me, which is God, come forth into expression through me as that which I am. Lead me ever in the paths of perfection and cause me to see only the good. So by this practice, the soul will become illumined and will acquaint itself with God and be at peace. And so it is, right? Like, how cool is that? This is, how long did that take? 90 seconds. You take a couple minutes to center, you read it in the morning and read it at night, every day this week, and see how you feel. See what difference it makes in your life. Because what we are doing this month is we are committing, we're having the courage to commit to ourselves. And the first thing that we can do to commit to ourselves is to commit to having some time with that divine presence that loved you so much, it created you. And so when you do that, everything unfolds in freedom, in grace, and in love. And that's what I want for each and every one of us. And so it is.